You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Again, I'm going to really urge you to get over and check out the podcast. Listen to the show on your terms. All you have to do is go over to podcastarena.com or on iTunes. Boost those numbers up for us. But you've got content galore over there. We're going to keep it coming for you, the great soccer fans here of Houston, and for those around the country and even around the world that pick up the stream. We thank you so much for joining this show and being a part of our Soccer Matters world. We remind you, Facebook, Soccer Matters, a great place to go. We've got all kinds of posting over there. We've got reaction to things. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock as well. And nobody covers the Houston Dynamo in Houston like Soccer Matters, and we're proud of that. All right, coming up now from the Austin Statesman, we're talking about healthy pressure in Major League Soccer when it comes to media, and we're wondering in the future what the media is going to look like for Austin FC coverage when they come into the league in 2021. Chris Bills joins me now. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Glenn. Love the work you do over there in Houston, and now a little bit over here in Austin as well. Look forward to seeing more of you over here in the Capitol.
Oh, well, that's great. We're enjoying the show being on here, and I've always liked Austin as a soccer market and been going up there for years. So let's just start with you because, you know, you are a writer for the Austin Statesman. You've covered the game in a number of places. Just for my listeners and maybe even for your readers, tell us your soccer background.
Yeah, so I grew up in rural Ohio, which not exactly a soccer hotbed, but kind of played early growing up and then left the game like so many do to play other sports and things, and then fell back in love with it in high school, a little late to play at any kind of high level or anything, but kind of became obsessed throughout college, learned a lot through covering the teams there and the Division II level, and then following worldwide and MLS. Actually interned with the Columbus Crew in 2013, and then landed a job out in Missouri, covered Sporting Kansas City a little bit, came down to Austin, and all of a sudden MLS was poking around, and I've been kind of wrapped up in that story since the beginning, since October of 2017, when we found out that MLS might be coming here. I've been covering the Bold and a little bit Texas Longhorns as well. And, of course, Austin FC as things continue to ramp up here toward the 2021 season.
Well, let's get your thoughts on Austin FC because I know you've written about a lot about them. There's just an incredible buzz going on, supporters, groups, stadium. How about your feelings on where the club is, their entree into the market, and what their possibilities are?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a really interesting story to follow from the beginning. Like I said, seeing the city's initial reaction, and now just the soccer culture that we all know is here in the city, and the interest that there's been in season ticket deposits and things like that. Everything seems really positive. Of course, Anthony Precourt and the ownership group, a lot of eyes around MLS on them to see, you know, what kind of product they're going to be able to put on the field. So far, Josh Wolf, the first head coach, I think, as you know, Glenn, somebody who was, eyeing opportunities and going to get a chance somewhere. Now he gets a chance with, a first-year franchise in 2021. It'll be really interesting to see what kind of roster they build. But as far as the market itself and the excitement, I think it's growing and growing every day. I think it's going to be a big deal here in this city, and excited to kind of be part of covering it and see how things take off here.
Are you seeing visible change every day? I mean, do you see more Austin FC hats? Do you see more things in the news now that it's getting ramped up and it's getting closer and time is passing and things, the ground has been broken on a stadium and all these other different things that, Lord knows how Andy Loughnane and company are going through all this. It's just incredible to start this thing from scratch, but it has been pretty amazing. Do you see visible signs?
Yeah, absolutely. Just yesterday I was at the grocery store and saw another Austin FC shirt. See them almost every day now of people, you know, in places where you wouldn't think. At first, it was just kind of the MLS PATX gear, right? And now to see people wearing, you know, the Adidas gear that they're picking up from, you know, online, whether it's online or Dick's Sporting Goods or whatever. I think people are excited. You're starting to see it more and more.
Talking to Chris Bills, a freelance writer, writes a lot about soccer, Austin Statesman. It's exciting times. I don't think there's any question about that. Let's talk a little bit about the Texas Longhorns, because that's where you and I met, and I'm really glad you came up. Yeah. And I had the opportunity to get to meet you. So you do cover Angela Kelly and Texas's team and Julia Grosso, the Canadian international and company. Do you enjoy the women's game as much?
Oh, absolutely. I love the women's game, love the excitement. Of course, Austin was the number one market during the Women's World Cup, and FC Austin Elite, the team in United Women's Soccer that plays here as well, had a chance to cover them over the summer. Kind of a short, abbreviated season, but the things they're doing are great. Had a game out at Bold Stadium, and were able to put over 1,000 in the stands for that. And, of course, Texas has been a team I've had a chance to cover more of this season, and they're on an exciting run. 3-1 start, lost over the weekend against West Virginia in overtime. That was a really tight battle. West Virginia took it to them in the second half, but it's been exciting to see this young team grow. And, of course, with the stars of Haley Berg, Sierra Hinson, and, as you mentioned, Julia Grosso, who, as we're talking here, is still, I think, on her way back from Japan, playing with the national team there as she tries to make the Olympic roster for Canada. So, you know, a lot of exciting players, but also the young ones, like Maddie Dorsett, who's been an everyday starter. And, it's been a fun season to see this team grow and see what they're going to accomplish here in the Big 12. So far off to a good start, still in first place.
Yeah, and Texas is hoping Julia Grosso will get back sooner as soon as possible, because they're back in action this week on Friday. It's again Big 12 play, and it's very, very important for them at this point of the season to do well in the Big 12, which is always so highly competitive. Anybody can win on any given day. That game will be on LHN tomorrow night.
We've definitely seen that so far.
Yeah. We need to get it's great to get people out to Mike A. Myers. By the way, the other thing about Austin FC is their supporters group, the Austin Anthem, have been out there, supporting Texas soccer, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I was just talking to a few of them the other day at the game on Thursday night about just how loud they're getting, how many more songs they're adding, and kind of adding a soundtrack out there to make Mike A. Myers that's missed when they're not there, some of the Sunday games that they haven't made it. But I know Angela Kelly has talked about how much they're enjoying having that kind of, international soccer flavor, more of a soccer atmosphere, in the stadium. And it's giving the Anthem a good chance to ramp up, their songs and continue to practice ahead of, what's going to be, I think, a raucous atmosphere, hopefully, up there at McCalla Place. But good to see them out of the Longhorns games, for sure.
Talking to Chris Bills of the Austin Statesman. We're talking about Austin soccer here, Austin Anthem, out at Texas soccer games. We've talked Austin FC. We've talked Texas Longhorns. I want to take you into, though, what was an incredibly shocking and saddening story, and that was Promise Isaac of Bold FC, the Nigerian international, and the fact that he just passed away so shockingly, so unexpectedly. How has Bold FC been handling all this? And I just can only imagine that people are just still in a state of shock.
Yeah, it was devastating news to wake up to on Thursday morning. Of course, Wednesday night, the sudden passing of Promise Isaac, who was living at the apartment complex that where so many on the team live, and had what appears to have been a heart attack while working out at the gym, and never got up. And it's just devastating news for everybody, especially once you started talking. And I had a few chances to interact and talk to Promise Isaac while he was playing for the Bold, but the impact that he made on those around him was really obvious to once once I talked to them, and it's just a really family-oriented guy. His family, he had a wife and three kids who live in Atlanta, and was flying back and forth to see them actually 4 weeks before he passed. He went and flew to Atlanta for his daughter's birthday, missed a match, and I think that kind of speaks to the kind of person he was. It was always family first and man of faith, and just very sad. And of course, they had their game postponed against Rail Monarchs. That's been pushed back to Wednesday, October 16th. They'll play. They've got three games left as we're talking now to try and make the playoffs. They need 2 points, I think, out of those three matches to make the playoffs. So they'll need to refocus. But of course, keeping Promise Isaac in their minds and their hearts as they head into the last part of the season.
Yeah, our thoughts, condolences, prayers to Promise Isaac, his family, and all those associated with him, and the fans of the Bulls who got to know him.
The reaction from around the soccer world was just overwhelming, really. Promise Isaac played for the Nigerian national team, of course. He was the captain of that 2008 squad that won silver at the Olympics, and played in Turkey and Saudi Arabia, just saw a lot of tributes from around the world. Just wanted to mention that real quick.
Yeah, ran into a great friend of mine, Sam Mbonu, at the Houston Dynamo game this past weekend, and we were talking about Promise Isaac, and he told me a number of things about him as well. So the Nigerian community here, which is very strong in Houston, is fully aware of this. The press in the future in Austin, what do you see? What do you see once Austin FC gets rolling? You know, are you going to be doing pieces that are star building? Do you see more critical thinking when it comes to articles and critiquing teams and tactics and coaches? Because we do seem a far way off from that kind of stuff when it comes to mainstream media.
Yeah, it feels like it, doesn't it, Glenn? It's interesting to watch the way that MLS has grown and kind of the challenge that you know, they've had getting media coverage. But I think that Austin FC is coming in at a time in 2021, when they get off the ground. You know, you've seen the coverage that Atlanta United has gotten, the LAFC has gotten in Los Angeles. And I think there's going to be an awareness, especially around Austin FC being the first professional team in the market. You know, I've talked with my bosses about hopefully, you know, getting on full time here and really, you know, doing this thing big, holding this team accountable, you know, seeing what they can build and telling the story, going along for the ride, you know, hopefully home and away, and you know, covering this like a major league sport that it is. I know it's always been, you know, a goal and a dream of mine to cover a pro soccer team in that way. So looking forward to seeing what the next few years bring.
Chris, as we know, Austin, Texas, when it comes to athletics, it's all about UT athletics. My good friend Craig Way has been a voice of the Texas Longhorns forever. We know how embedded it is in the community. The fact that Austin FC will become the first professional team there, do you think that then makes it an obligation that mainstream media covers them and covers them well?
Absolutely. I mean, I think so. Of course, as you are, Glenn, I'm interested in soccer and seeing the game grow in general. But this is Austin's first major professional sports team, and not only that, but not everybody that lives in Austin. Of course, we've got 100 and some people moving here every day. Not all of them went to the University of Texas, and I think this team's going to kind of capture that audience in a way that that the Longhorns haven't. So that's going to be really interesting to see, and to see, you know, just that level of interest, of course, you know, driven by media coverage, but also we have an obligation to cover the things that people in our communities are interested in. And I talk to people every day that are wanting to know what's going on with this franchise, you know, what's going to be happening, you know, what the new stadium is going to look like and all that. So I think that we've got an obligation as a media to give them that kind of coverage and hold them accountable in that way.
Well, Chris, thank you very much. You know, every time I walk past the Austin Statesman's building, when I cross over on South Congress there, now I'm going to be thinking of Chris Pills, a soccer writer.
Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate it. I always love seeing you when you're over here for the Longhorns games, and I'm sure we'll run into each other a few more times before the season's over. But I really appreciate you having me on, and keep up the good work over there in Houston. And, just really appreciate it.
You'll see me out there tomorrow night. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for spending some time with us, and we'll do it again in the future.
Sounds good, Glenn.
So nice work there from Chris Pills. Good job there. Interesting interview with him. By the way, a big thank you to all who tuned in during the year on Cube 57, the home of the Houston Dynamo, and joined myself, Eddie Robinson, Bobby Boswell, Cindy Bourbano for our coverage of those games. And we have been very proud and excited, as always, to bring you the commentary. Houston Dynamo on Cube 57, a big thank you to the Cube for their support of the sport and their support of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Also, Kings Court down in Edo, 903 Hutchins, shadows of BBVA Stadium, Kings Court, 13 monitors for all your soccer-watching desires. Houston Red Army's down there, Bayou City Blues, a number of supporters groups there. The Peña supporting Real Madrid is down there as well. Rooftop deck is wonderful down there, and with the weather getting better, it's a great spot to have a nice cocktail or a cold beer. Great food, staff, selection. Go in and say hello to Jay and Megan. It is Kings Court, Houston, TX.com. Kings Court, 903 Hutchins, near BBVA Stadium. All right, coming up after the break, when we come back, we'll visit with a man who is an assistant coach to Frank Rijkaard at Barcelona, who won the Champions League in 2006 with players like Ronaldinho, Samuel Eto'o, and a young Lionel Messi. He's Albert Rocha, part one, coming up next.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
Well, as advertised, we have a great guest tonight here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. He stood next to Frank Rijkaard and was one of his assistants when Frank Rijkaard and La Masia and Barcelona rebuilt their squad with tremendous influence from Johan Cruyff. In fact, our next guest, Albert Rocha, also would go with not only Frank Rijkaard at Barcelona, but he would then move with him to Galatasaray in Turkey and then with the Saudi Arabia national team. He has also handled La Selecta El Salvador as well. Here is part one of Albert Rocha. Albert, when did you decide to move on from a playing career to a coaching career?
Well, it was a long time ago, I think, you know, because for sure, you know, I my degree in physical education, and after that, okay, I've been also in the past a football player, professional football player. And, well, I have decided, you know, perhaps 20 years ago when I was tired to be a physical coach, and I thought that it could be good, you know, to make a step forward. So, and yes, it's like this. It's easy and natural, I think, you know. It's something that it was in my mind all the time. And that's all. It's natural.
We're speaking to Albert Rocha. He was an assistant with Barcelona when they won the Champions League with Frank Rijkaard. Also has been the manager of La Selecta, El Salvador. Your biggest coaching influences, because we all get influenced by certain individuals. Who were your biggest coaching influences, Albert?
For sure, Frank Rijkaard has been not just a friend. It has been my master. Because, you know, it's because him, you know, he gave me the opportunity to assist him in Barcelona. So, yes, and he had the philosophy and the methodology of Ajax. That, you know, that Barcelona and Ajax have always been really close to each other, you know, these clubs. And they have more or less the same methodology and the point of view of a football, you know. So it was good, you know. From there, you know, it was just working hard, you know, on that. And I suppose that we had some successes there in Barcelona, you know, because you know, all the people that we were working on that, we had the same idea.
We're talking Albert Roca, played at Real Zaragoza. You know, when you move from the second division to Barcelona, I mean, this is a big opportunity, right? How did it physically happen? I mean, did one day Frank Rijkaard say to you, I would like you to be my assistant? How did you make the connection with him? How does that happen? Because I think that's interesting.
Yes, we were just playing both together, you know, in Zaragoza a long time ago. So, yes, for sure, no, we had a good relationship. And when he came here in Barcelona, he thought that I could, you know, make a good work for him and for the team. So he decided to call me, and he proposed me that. And for sure, you know, I have accepted quickly.
Why did it work so well between you two? I mean, obviously you knew each other, you trusted each other, but there has to be other things to make it work, right? What else made it work so well?
Yes, I mean, it's he knew, so because we have talked a lot, you know, about football, about the way that we are just seeing the tactics, you know, and how we work. And he knew more or less, you know, how I could, you know, be involved in his technical staff. So easy. I mean, I had decided, you know, for sure, you know, to join them at the beginning of his period, you know, of his project. And it was easy from the beginning, because both we knew each other, and I think what he demanded of me was what I have used to work, you know, in my past. So not so difficult for me.
But he pushed you, right? He pushed you to do the work. What were some of the responsibilities he wanted out of you,
for
Albert?
Sure. You know, you have to accept the responsibility is much bigger. It's much bigger. And, it's a step that sometimes, you know, we have to do. But just to be in front, you know, Ronaldinho, Messi, all these big players, you know, make sometimes, you know, at the beginning was a little bit, you know, a shock, you know, for me. But then after 1 week, you know, I felt really, really comfortable, because, you know, players are human beings that they try, you know, to make for you the things easy. And, from there, you know, I think, you know, my work was good, you know, and I felt really comfortable with this group.
We're talking to Albert Roca, assistant coach at Barcelona, also went on to manage El Salvador. He's got an extensive background in coaching. We're going to get into some of his other stops as well along the way. A typical practice session, would Frank be running the practice session? Because it's so different over here in the United States, and sometimes the manager really is involved in the training session. Some step back and let others take over. How did that work at Barcelona at that time with Frank Rijkaard?
Well, it's what I said to you, you know, before. I mean, the philosophy of Barcelona is very similar to the Ajax. So these clubs are always trying to push on tactics, you know, in every single session. So, yes, from that, you know, we have worked hard in just in order, you know, for sure, you know, try to change a little bit the results that Barcelona had until that day. Because remember that Frank Rijkaard has come when Barcelona, you know, had a period of 7 years without no titles. So it was a question of, for sure, you know, to change the methodology and try to change everything, the mentality of the players to for sure, you know, to become better. And it's what we have worked on from the first day. So tactics is so important in our point of view, because we know that from there, you know, the team can grow up. And it's our focus. It was always there, you know, the next game, and how can we, for sure, you know, improve our tactics and how to for sure to have more chances to win the game.
Was Frank the type of manager that would take the practice session and be the main, you know, voice out there, or would he sit back and instruct his assistants how to run the training session?
Yeah, I mean, it's always the same, you know, schedule. I mean, we have just to have meeting before, you know, the training sessions to be really sure what is our target in every single session, and to work, because, you know, football here in most part of the, for sure, the countries, but Barcelona plays, you know, a game almost every 3 days. So it's difficult. So we have just to employ, and we have to prepare much earlier, you know, how the other teams are playing, how we can just face these situations. So, yes, I mean, we have, for sure, meet, you know, a lot of people really well coordinated by Frank. And I think we did a very good job, and we did our best, you know, that, you know, to have good results, and finally, I think we succeed, you know, with the Champions League, and also with the two leagues, Spanish leagues. So yes, happy for that.
Albert, what did you see from Lionel Messi back then? What were your thoughts on him back then? Did you know this greatness was going to occur?
Well, I think, you know, it's Messi. It has been, you know, from the beginning, you know, a top player that. Everybody of us, we saw that he could be, you know, what he is right now. I mean, if he was 17 and he made the difference, even, you know, in our team. So we have supposed that his career could be really long, as he did, you know, and as he's doing right now still. So, yes, it was amazing, and for sure, you know, to see that so young player can be so comfortable playing with so top players at that moment, like Ronaldinho, Eto'o, Deco, you know, so it was good, you know, and it was an incredible experience, you know, for sure, you know, to see not just during the games, but also, you know, every season, every session, you know, of we did, you know, in that time. So Messi, perhaps, you know, the most talented player that I have seen in my life.
And how about Ronaldinho back then? Just a couple of thoughts on Ronaldinho.
Well, Ronnie, it was also, you know, remember, everybody can remind that when Ronaldinho came, you know, the team Barcelona has a very poor results, and with his... I mean, happiness with the for sure, you know, his talent, you know, he helped so much the team, you know, goes up that, yes, I think, you know, everybody can thank him, you know, how he really, you know, did, you know, during the Barcelona, you know, period. So, yes, no, we are really, really, you know, for sure proud of his performance. And we were really proud about also his attitude.
All right, so that's part one of Albert Rocha. Part two is coming up right around the corner here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Quick word here for Tri-Eagle Energy. Now, shopping for electricity rates can be painful, but Tri-Eagle Energy will make it easy for you. They're born and raised in Texas. That provides simple fixed rates. You'll pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. None of these hidden fee deals. It's an easy, fast sign-up process. No gimmicks, no surprises on your bill. You're going to receive a weekly usage update so that you already have an estimate for your energy charges before your bill hits the mail. You lock in your rate for 12, 24, or 36 months. You avoid rate hikes, so lock in now. Tri-Eagle Energy. Then keep it simple. The rate you see is the rate you pay. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees. No charges if you go over a certain amount of electricity. They're also offering, I like this, a discount for our listeners. Simply use promo code ESPN when you sign up. What are you waiting for? It's an easy decision that you can feel good about. Call them, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TryEagleEnergy.com. That's TryEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN, PUCT, hashtag 10064. Part two of Barcelona assistant coach Albert Roca coming at you on Soccer Matters, ESPN 975.
ESPN 975.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. We are now in the 90th minute in stoppage time, our final segment here tonight. This final segment is brought to you by Advantage BMW. My good friends Philip and Justin down there at Advantage BMW Midtown. Now, I have a wonderful vehicle, an X5. Absolutely love it. I also love the customer service at BMW. It's second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown will cover you. Sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Get that hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown. Time now. Part two. Former assistant for Barcelona, Albert Roca. It's great to have Albert Roca on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. And Albert from Spain, played as a player in Spain, went on to become an assistant coach at Barcelona. So then you and Frank, you go to Galatasaray in Turkey. I would imagine that was a big change, and there were challenges there with the culture and just adapting to a new league.
Yes, true. You know, every time that we have to move, you know, you have to change a little bit your mind and to adapt to any ambience, to any environment. So it's what we have tried to do, you know, in any country that we have coach later, you know, because Barcelona is not the only club in the world. It's just another team. But when you go abroad, you know, you can see that you have to do sometimes, you know, things a little bit different or just to adapt yourself in order for sure, you know, to make your team better. So yes, to know and the culture, and just to perhaps sometimes to even to work harder, because you know the players, they have also see that there is also another kind of training, another kind of football, and it's just a question of to adjust each other. Yes, to try to be better, and it was okay. It was a very good experience in Turkey. It was very also very good experience in Saudi. So this is an incredible time when you can see that football, it's nice everywhere, but it's also, you know, difficult for sure to adapt to these countries and to know exactly which is the plan that you can use just, you know, for sure have to try to have more options to succeed.
Yeah, then you go to Saudi Arabia, like you said, with Frank Rijkaard, and then you become a head coach. At this point, you decide to be the head coach of El Salvador, which we know is not easy to do with the federation, and the professional league down there has always had problems. How difficult was it being in charge of La Selecta?
Yes, look, I think El Salvador has been, for me, my tough, you know, experience in football, but also a very nice. I have a very good souvenir there because, you know, even if it was a difficult time, I think we did a good work. Everybody remember how we have arrived there. After only 2 weeks working, we faced Spain. That at that moment, Spain was champion, the world champion. So it was not easy, but I think in 1 year and 3 months that we have been there, we did our job, and we have tried to increase the quality of the players, and also for sure, you know, just to see that the supporters of El Salvador, could be, you know, proud of La Selecta. So this is our goal also, you know, not just about results, but also the way that the players can play, for sure, you know, in front of their supporters. And it was nice. I know that for sure, you know, it was difficult because, you know, the border has not helped too much. But I don't want to blame on any one of these people. It was, I think, you know, it's perhaps, you know, because I always try, you know, to be really professional wherever I go. And when you see that some people are not at the same rhythm, you know, you feel sometimes, you know, not so comfortable. But it's okay. You know, I had also, you know, a personal issue. And finally, I have decided to leave. But I always want, you know, for sure, El Salvador be in the right direction. And I am really happy when they got some results. So I hope and I wish, you know, the best for them in the next World Cup. And then for sure, you know, and why not, you know, perhaps in the next World Cup, you know, they could kind of perhaps, you know, pursue it, or they can just get the last step, you know, for sure, you know, the world tournament, you know, to shift the world tournament.
Yeah, it's always going to be a problem though there, right? Because the infrastructure doesn't support the national team correctly, the professional league, and it's such a passionate, prideful country when it comes to football. I mean, having gone down there and played against those teams when I was playing, like Alianza and FAS, I just don't see how they're going to be able to really ever compete until they fix the infrastructure. And do you think that'll ever change, the infrastructure in football in El Salvador?
Look, you know, for sure, El Salvador is not, everybody can understand that it's not at the same level of other countries, just because, you know, the budgets and for sure, you know, money, it was also important in order to well organize, you know, to have all the conditions, facilities, you know, and this is a big problem that El Salvador cannot, you know, resolve in just 1-2 years. But it's a difficult, but we have to accept always the target, and the target was, you know, to make the try to make the team better is what we have tried, and what we have achieved, I think, in just a short time. I remember, you know, the last Gold Cup, or the Gold Cup that we have played, and we had a really good result. But not only this, but the image of the team was really improved, you know, much better. If we compare, you know, that this period in only 1 year before, when we have to play against Spain, for example. So everybody, I think, they could see our progress, and is what we wanted from the first, from the beginning. I mean, just to be a little bit better at the end of our job. So happy for that, even with a lot of problems. But we have to show, you know, to everybody that making a professional job, you know, can also make a good result and a good football. So that's all. Now, for sure, you know, it's also the supporters consider, you know, because for sure, you know, people has always, you know, his own opinion, what we did there, if it was good or not. But I think if they consider the circumstances, they can see that we did a very professional job.
We're talking to Albert Roca. Albert has been an assistant coach at Barcelona when they won the Champions League under Frank Rijkaard, an incredible coaching resume, also an assistant at Galatasaray and Saudi Arabia with Frank Rijkaard, El Salvador, La Selecta's head coach, and then you ended up in India. What's football like in India? Because I think people think it's really exotic but don't really know a whole lot about Indian football. We do know they have passion for the sport.
Yes. I mean, India has changed, you know, very quick. I mean, for sure, everybody knows that cricket is the first sport there. But football is increasing the popularity. And we can see a lot of stadiums full of people and full of supporters. But it means that they start and begin, you know, to for sure, you know, to like football and to love football. And I had a really, really lucky because I was in one of the best teams there, Bengaluru FC, where the management it's not English, but they have for sure a English background. They can understand that football it's completely different, perhaps of cricket mentality. And we have and we did a very good job there. So happy because these people, you know, make our work much easier since we arrived there in Bangalore. And well, it's because I think we succeed and we have a shift, you know, 4 finals in only 2 years, winning 2 titles. So it was an amazing, I think, performance in a so short time. So very happy of this period of time, of course.
Albert, I want to get your thoughts, because I know you know Major League Soccer well. Tell me your thoughts on Major League Soccer, its evolution, the type of football being played now in the United States, and what you think of it.
Okay, I see a lot of games in for sure since I think a long time ago I was watching games in MLS games, and now I can see that also in United States the football has changed, or in terms of they are much better than they did, you know, in the past. So happy for that, to see that also in United States football is changing and improving. For sure, national team perhaps is not at the same level sometimes because they go up and down, and nobody can understand because, you know, the things that you are doing there, it's quite good. You have everything, you know, to succeed. And for sure, you know, if everybody can understand, if the MLS is strong, the national team, you know, would be stronger as well. So it's just a question of time because United States have the resources of being one of the best countries in any sport that you can play. And but from there, for sure, it's just a question, you know, to insist and just to force. And I'm thinking that in a few years, they can be at the same level of certain European countries. Why not?
He's a former assistant coach at Barcelona, also took on the head job of El Salvador, La Selecta. He is Albert Roca. He is joining us. And would you ever want to coach in Major League Soccer?
Well, for sure. Why not? I mean, it could be my next target. And I have trained everywhere. And MLS would be a challenge, a big challenge. But I think it's a challenge I can accept right now. I am ready for that. And who knows? I mean, future in football, nobody knows, and we move from one side to another. But as I said to you, MLS, it could be a very nice experience, I'm sure.
Albert, thank you so much for coming on the program. We'd like to have you on again. It's incredible to be able to talk about you and your experiences and what you've done in the game and where you've gone in the game. And it really is remarkable looking at it here on paper as well, and then to hear from you even more. So thank you so much. A real pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Len, to be in your show today.
That's Albert Roca. He was the assistant coach at Barcelona, La Selecta El Salvador as well, and, of course, a man keeping a lot of tabs on Major League Soccer. Really appreciate him coming on. That'll do it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Thank you so much for tuning in. We also thank you very much for supporting our podcasts of this show, Soccer Matters, over at podcastarena.com and on iTunes. A big thank you, as always, to Andrew Carlson, Victor Ariza, and all of you who listen into this show, keep it on the air, and our great sponsors. We thank you very much. Facebook, Soccer Matters. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock, Houston, Texas. We love you. Thank you for supporting the show. Remember, Soccer Matters. Chow. Chow. Chow.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.